First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all callers joining us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line today. We're asking you two different questions. Is Roger Goodell handling the NFL's return correctly? And does the NFL owe Colin Kaepernick an apology? Get on the phone lines and let us know what you think about either question. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. For SportsCenter headlines, 16 of 302 NBA players have tested positive for COVID-19 in the league's first mandatory testing. Those players will remain in isolation until they satisfy public health protocols. Names of the players have not been released, but some players, such as Malcolm Brogdon and Jabari Parker, have acknowledged their positive tests. Meantime, an update from the Travelers Championship PGA Tour event going on in Cromwell, Connecticut, just down the road from our ESPN studios. Will Gordon has now opened up a two-shot lead on Mackenzie Hughes, the 29-year-old Canadian who flirted with a 59 yesterday. Hughes will tee off later this. He's actually on the course, just finished his first hole. So Mackenzie Hughes is on the course right now. Tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Well, LeBron James, earlier this week, injecting himself into the conversation and the arena of the NFL when he spoke out saying that the NFL owes Colin Kaepernick an apology. Stephen A. Smith started the debate earlier this morning on First Take.
I think LeBron is wrong about this, and I haven't disagreed with LeBron James about much in recent memory. But I disagree with him about this and anybody who feels that Roger Goodell owes Colin Kaepernick apology. It's not Roger Goodell who owns a Colin Kaepernick apology. It's the NFL owners who owe Colin Kaepernick an apology. Roger Goodell, as the commissioner of the National Football League, was working in concert with Jay-Z and Roc Nation. He tried to get Colin Kaepernick a tryout. He tried to convince the owners this man was not trying to denigrate our flag. He was not talking about patriotism. He was not doing that. He talked about racial oppression and police brutality and equality and civil liberties. Those are the kind of things that Colin Kaepernick was attempting to bring attention to. And the owners, his bosses who pay him, would not listen. The issue is with the owners. Roger Goodell is an easy target in my estimation, and I think that you got 32 owners in the National Football League that have systematically gone about the business of ignoring him while using him as cover to buffer for their negligence. And I think that's the important point that needs to be made here. Every time we look at Roger Goodell and we want to parse and dissect and pick apart everything that he does and doesn't do. The man is not perfect. I get it. Criticism aimed in his direction definitely is warranted on several occasions. There is no doubt about that. But it's not like he tried, and it's not like he co-signed what the owners were saying. But if we had, I forgot what it was, Max. What was it weeks ago when they talked, when it was a former guy, it was a former executive within the National Football League that worked with the Minnesota Vikings, if I remember correctly, and I forgot where he was now, Lockhart, I believe his name was, where he highlighted how owners were saying they actually had information that said if you bring Colin Kaepernick on board, it would cost you 20% of gate revenue at the very least, if not 20% overall. I forget whether it was gate revenue or 20% overall. The point that I'm making is, this is what their attitude was. Now, Roger, you want to say Roger Goodell could have been more forceful? You want to say that Roger Goodell could have debunked the wishes of his owners, ignored them, defied them, engaged in insubordination? And okay, that's a different argument. But in the end, what it comes down to is that it's their actions that led to Colin Kaepernick being blackballed from the National Football League, not Roger Goodell. And in the end, when we call about Roger Goodell for an apology, I think it's incredibly important that we remember that.
Sure. I think the owners also owe Colin Kaepernick an apology, but certainly Goodell does. And mainly for, I would be giving his intelligence the benefit of the doubt to say he was lying. And I don't think he's stupid. So let me tell you what I mean. In 2016, he said, with respect to Kaepernick's protest, we believe in patriotism in the NFL. We're strong on patriotism. Does he not understand the difference between patriotism and nationalism? I wish I could attribute this quote to the proper person, but the best distillation I've heard is, or I've come across, is the patriot is proud of its country for what it does. That's patriotism. Nationalism is you're proud of your country no matter what it does. So did Goodell mean that in the NFL they believe in nationalism? Because I'll answer it for him. Yes, you did, Roger Goodell. In 2016, the NFL did not believe in patriotism by any reasonable definition. You believed in nationalism and imposed it on Kaepernick. Now, that may have been the owners, and you were the mouthpiece for the owners. Nevertheless, you reflected their sensibilities and unfairly denied, Kaepernick the right to make a living in his chosen profession, even though they operate a monopoly and have a responsibility to give the opportunity for jobs based on ability. It's supposed to be a meritocracy. But you were their mouthpiece, and you willingly stated a falsehood, unless you really don't know the difference between patriotism and nationalism. Is that the case, Roger Goodell? Then last year, Stephen A., Goodell came out and said, I think that Kaepernick, how do you put it? He said that if a team believed that someone helps them win, then that person has the job, implying that Kaepernick couldn't help a team win. Now, Roger Goodell is the commissioner of the NFL. He watches a lot of football. Did he really believe last year, sight unseen, right? So you have to figure, even if Kaepernick, who claims he's staying ready and he's shown video and stuff, has declined a little bit year over year, he's still not one of the 64 best quarterbacks in the world. He was like low-end starting caliber quarterback when last seen. There are 64 guys better than him? No, I don't think
so. That's not the point.
And so for him to say he'd have a job if the team thought they could help him win is simply untrue. But the point is, does he owe Kaepernick an apology for stating the point of view of the owners, which is a mistake in definition originally, as an excuse to not give him a job or as cover? And then later, does he owe him an apology for saying he ain't good enough to help a team win?
Okay, we respectfully disagree, number one. Number two, we need to make a correction or a modification. I disagree with LeBron if he says Goodell owes Colin Kaepernick an apology. I do not disagree with LeBron if he's saying the NFL owes Colin Kaepernick an apology as opposed to Goodell specifically, number two. And number three, let's remember that an apology is essentially an admission of guilt. And although Colin Kaepernick settled, you don't know what legal remedies he may have available to him in the event that Goodell and the NFL do issue such an apology desired verbally by LeBron James, which means that would be incentive to apologize without specifically mentioning Kaepernick's name because you're worried about legal ramifications because Kaepernick has shown you he would be willing to go that route.
So here's my take. Roger Goodell has already issued a statement saying the NFL was wrong for not listening to players earlier. They were wrong for not encouraging everyone to speak out and peacefully protest. If you're going to take that position, then you should apologize. Fully own what you're saying. Say, I missed the message Colin Kaepernick was the spokesperson for. I failed to fully recognize the point Colin Kaepernick was trying to make, and that's on me. The league has to do better moving forward. The league could have done a ton more to support the Black Lives Matter movement. We'll do everything we can moving forward to condemn racism of any kind. But Roger Goodell is not the only one at fault here. Don't lay all that blame at his feet. In the highest profile league in all of major U.S. sports, which in turn for me makes it the most competitive, to suggest 32 owners and head coaches and GMs would all follow some unwritten mandate by the commissioner who has no authority to tell them to do so and not give their team the best chance to win. I'm not buying that. I'm not pinning all that blame on the commissioner. If you're of the opinion that Colin Kaepernick deserves an apology, then it better come from a hell of a lot more people than just the commissioner. because there were a lot of teams. Every single one of them had the opportunity to sign this guy for 4 years. Owners could have said, you know what? Put this guy on our team. Let him compete. Coaches could have spoken up, said, hey, I want that guy on my team. And my GM or my owner or the commissioner's not letting me do it. I haven't heard a single one say that. No general manager has said, we've wanted Colin Kaepernick, but I'm not being allowed to sign him. So some heat needs to be brought on those people, too. And if we're going to start demanding apologies, which maybe we should, then it better come from a lot more people than Roger Goodell. Vernon from the Bronx joining us on the ESPN hotline, 888-SAY-ESPN. Vernon, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with the person who spoke earlier. He's saying that Roger Goodell definitely needs to apologize, but he's not the only one, because it runs across the board with the owners. And when we start looking at the society, the pressure comes from the society also stating that we don't really care what this guy is saying. So, you know what? Let's move on. And I'm thinking Muhammad Ali would say, no, I am not going to fight somebody's war. If when I come back, I cannot get the normal basic thing that a human being should get, which is he went and he boxed, he got the gold medal, and then he couldn't get a room to sleep in. Now, you tell me. Now, why would I want to then stand for the flag or even care what it stands for if the thing that I represent has no care for me? So when people come up and talk about if you're on a job, you couldn't do it, all of this is by the way. You have to look right in at what's happening to you and say, listen, is Adam going to stand up now and do something, or I'll never stand for anything later on? And he did what he did, and I'm 110% with him that he did.
Vernon, that's a great call, and we appreciate your perspective. I think that's the opinion of a lot of people. And I think a lot of people have learned. I think early on it was don't disrespect the American flag, and then I think it turned into, wait a minute, this conversation is much bigger than that. It's a great point. We make the unusual pivot from a Colin Kaepernick discussion to talk about the world of golf, but it's always great when we're joined by our pal Bob Herrig, ESPN senior golf writer. Bob, it's great to talk to you again. You know, while we're on the subject of Colin Kaepernick here, either refresh me or enlighten me here. How much has that discussion been one that golfers on the PGA Tour have been discussing?
Well, it was Kevin. It was actually a fairly big deal the first week. The first week back at the Colonial when they honored George Floyd every day at 8:46 a.m. with a moment of silence, and they stopped all the tee times. Obviously, it's not directly Colin Kaepernick, but it's the same issue. And you know, you had a bunch of players coming out in support and acknowledging that in society we need to do better. And look, let's be honest, in golf they need to do better. Golf has always been a little slow on these social issues. You know, it's an expensive sport. It's for many years it discriminated. We've had issues of inclusion with membership at clubs, at private clubs, and it's taken a while, you know. And so, but to the extent that there'll be anything that comes of it, I think now that's the big question going forward. Where do they go? How do they use their influence to try to help the situation?
We're chatting with ESPN senior golf writer Bob Herrig, joining us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Bob, along those lines, there's been a name change suggested for the Masters tournament. Now, that hasn't come from within the sport, but that's something that has been kicked about. Is there any real traction from what you're hearing, either from among those at Augusta National or within the tour?
There has been no traction with that. Augusta National does what it does, and I would be surprised if they would even take that on. You know, the name actually goes back to at the time when the Masters began in the early 30s, it was called the Augusta National Invitation Tournament. But right away from the beginning, those who were putting the event on and even the media of the day, the writers, were referring to it as the Masters, as in they were inviting the best in golf or the Masters of Golf. And it took 5 years for the name to change officially because one of the founders, Bobby Jones, he didn't like the name because he thought it sounded pompous. You know, he thought it sounded, you know, just a little bit too uppity. He preferred the Augusta National Invitation. And really throughout his life, he didn't really like the name Masters. But, you know, any research I've done on that subject does not suggest that the word was being used in the manner in which is being suggested now as for why it needs to be taken away. And I'm not saying it shouldn't be looked at or shouldn't be discussed, you know, but also I think if you dig into it, they'll find that there's not a whole lot there.
Kevin Connors in today for Jason Fitz, joined by Bob Harrig, ESPN senior golf writer. Bob, there have been some positive tests this week among players and caddies. It's caused some to withdraw from this week's event going on in the state of Connecticut in Cromwell. How has the PGA Tour responded to those tests from a future testing and safety standpoint?
Well, they've decided that they're gonna do more testing each weekend and going into the next event. One of their protocols is on the Saturday of tournament week, those who are taking the tournament charters on Monday to the next event are required to be tested and to test negative before they can get on that flight. That in the first couple of weeks, that took care of their testing for the week. They've now decided that they will also have to test when they arrive at the tournament site, along with everybody else who might have come from elsewhere. And as we're seeing, you know, there was another positive test today. Danny McCarthy actually started to feel some symptoms last night, decided to get tested this morning. He tested positive, so he withdrew. But McCarthy was tested on Monday or Tuesday when he arrived and was negative. So you're seeing like kind of the challenges that they face. You know, is that a testing problem that showed a false negative? You know, not necessarily. You know, there's an incubation period with this. So maybe he had it and it didn't show up. It hadn't shown up yet. It's possible he contracted it over the weekend or early or late last week. So, I mean, the good news is, you know, his caddy tested negative. Bud Cauley, one of his playing partners, took a test twice today and was negative. You know, he would have been around him yesterday for their entire round. So, you know, perhaps that suggests that, you know, being outside and being distanced, even though he was probably carrying it with him yesterday and was contagious, he didn't spread it to the others. But it does, again, point out the challenge, just how tough this is with, you know, 150 players, 100 caddies every week coming and going, coming from different places. You know, they're not locked down when they're away. They're asked to do the right thing. But you could do the right thing and still get unlucky. So it's just a monumental task going forward. I guess I would say at this point, you know, 3 weeks in, to have had 5 cases total, 3 players and 2 caddies, is probably actually pretty good just from a number standpoint. Not that you want anybody to get this, obviously.
And it's a challenge, of course, facing all the other sports leagues who are looking to either resume their seasons or begin altogether. We're chatting with ESPN Golf senior writer Bob Harrig. Bob, let's talk about actual play here. We saw yesterday Mackenzie Hughes flirting with the magic number 59 in opening round play at the Travelers on a course that's been described this week as very gettable. I want to go big picture here from your perspective. Since returning from the COVID-19 break, what has the overall level of play been relative to what it was pre-COVID-19?
I think it's been terrific. I mean, there's been a lot of really good golf being played to shoot these low scores. Now, some of that has to do with the venue. You know, this week's venue typically yields a lot of birdies. It's where Jim Furyk shot 58, the all-time tour record in 2016. And last week at Hilton Head, you know, that tournament is normally played there in April when temperatures can be cooler, it might be windier. Because it was so hot and humid, they got to keep water on the course, and that softens it up and makes it easier to hold greens and make birdies. But still, I mean, there has been a high level of play since they've come back, and I think it kind of pointed to the idea that these guys were itching to play again, and they were given plenty of notice. You know, I don't think it's the same as trying to ramp up to play baseball or hockey. You know, these guys, for the most part, were able to play casual golf at home. They could hit balls. They could work on their game. And then when they got word that the tour was going to start up again, they had a full month of knowing that that Colonial was the first event. That's plenty of time to sort of get things in order. And you're seeing a bunch of these guys have come out, and you know they were raring to go. I think they realized that, look, I missed a lot of time. I've got ground to make up. Or they might have thought, hey, look, you know, how long is this going to last? You know, is there a chance that we miss some events down the road? I better try to take advantage while I can. And so that got a lot of them, you know, trying to get their game to peak once play resumed.
We've had a lot of good golf. We've had guys hitting it off the tee, just some moonshots. Bryson DeChambeau, obviously, has been a huge story. Great field this week of the Travelers. Phil is there. Rory's there. Dustin Johnson's there. Will Gordon leading the field right now, but there's still a lot of golf to be played. Bob Herrig, always great to chat with you. Thanks for taking time today.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
First Take, Your Take, presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. Coming up next, one NBA player very open about how he felt about safety in Orlando. You're going to hear what he said coming up next. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Kevin Connors in today for Jason Fitz. Well, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Boy, if you missed Tobias Harris today on First Take, the television version, you missed a really candid interview. He got into a lot of different things, including the fact that he said, hey, chemistry on our Sixers team has not been great all season, but one of the big things he discussed with the gang is the fact that 16 NBA players have tested positive for COVID-19. This was Tobias Harris reacting to the news that only broke just a couple of minutes before he joined the First Take crew.
Well, it's not surprising. I think, you know, as you look around the world with cases continuing to rise now, so you're going to see an increase of cases, even with guys in our league. So the biggest thing for us is just to make sure that we're put in a situation where we can be healthy and we can go out and do our job and play. So, yeah, that's how I kind of look at it. It wasn't surprising the number to hear about it. So, yeah.
The pandemic is one issue. Mm-hmm. The social justice movement is another issue. But those are two obviously very viable reasons in the eyes of a lot of players not to be playing basketball this summer. What are your positions regarding both issues?
So, yeah, I think the two you just touched on was COVID-19, our health, our safety, and then everything going along in the world. We're pushing the message of Black Lives Matter, equality, police brutality are both two things for me that I'm heavily concerned about. So with the bubble, with Orlando, as a player, as a man, as myself, I have to know that I'm healthy, that I'm okay with going out there, and that I'm not going to be put at a high risk. And on top of that, I also have to take the responsibility as a leader of my team and as a player in the NBA to continue to push the message of what we want overall for the African-American community, and that's change.
I mean, if that interview, if that snippet of the interview with Tobias Harris didn't resonate with you, I'm not sure what will. I mean, it was he gave some stark admissions about the numbers and about the reality of safety for players in the NBA. And then he talked about, of course, Black Lives Matter and equality for everyone. And I have to take the responsibility to continue to push the message. That's why I'm coming back to play. I mean, it was the discussion about how Dwight Howard was saying, I don't know if basketball is the right thing for us to be doing right now. I think Tobias Harris said it perfectly. He enunciated what so many of us believe, which is, you know, that's precisely why players should return. To keep pointing out the injustices when they occur. This is as great a megaphone as you're going to get. And you can do it by, you know, wearing shirts before the game or speaking out after the game when you're interacting with the media. I thought Tobias Harris was right on the money with virtually everything that he had to say during his interview today. It was a great, great interview with the crew on First Take. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. We've been asking you on the First Take, Your Take hotline, 888-SAY-ESPN, is Roger Goodell handling the NFL return correctly? And does the NFL owe Colin Kaepernick an apology? Lines have been lit up all show. Let's head to Tony from Indiana. Tony, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for the show. Lots of interesting points made. I appreciate the dialogue.
It's my pleasure.
What's
your position? My
opinion is that the league does not owe Kaepernick an apology, nor does Commissioner Goodell, nor do the team owners, and it's really based on football reasons. So let me start by drawing some great contrasts or comparisons, I think, to look toward as to why he's not owed an apology. I think Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Tim Tebow, these are some great examples of why. So my football reason is this. For a quarterback to be successful in the league, they really need three components. They need the physical tools. Can they make the passes on the field, down the field, accurately? The second is the mental component. Can they learn the playbook, the system, so that they know it cold enough they can be effective with, you know, pre-snap audibles, et cetera? And the third piece is, I don't have a great term for it, whether it's emotional, whether it's fortitude. In a nutshell, that third piece is, when a quarterback is in a position of adversity, has he just taken two sacks on consecutive downs? How does he respond? Does he close down? Does he just hold the fort? Some quarterbacks even excel in the face of adversity.
Right.
Now, a lot of quarterbacks come into the league with different physical tools and talents, and they get an opportunity in the league with those things. But the trouble with the NFL is everything's on film. Defensive coordinators, they break down the tape.
Tony, I got to speed you up here. So does the NFL owe him an apology or not?
They don't, because the reason he got pushed out of the league is he lacked the overall package to be successful as a starting quarterback.
Nah.
And then Tim Tebow is your next best contrast or example. Tebow got the opportunity as a starter in the league because of his legs, just like Kaepernick. Just like multiple other quarterbacks, Vince Young, Jake Locker. You get an opportunity because of your physical skills. If you can evolve the other parts of the game, you get to stay.
Yeah, but Tony, we appreciate the phone call, Tony. Here's the bottom line. Listen, I'm a big Tim Tebow guy for a lot of different reasons. But Tim Tebow didn't almost win a Super Bowl. Let's be fair. Tim Tebow won a playoff game. But we've also seen what Tim Tebow was as an NFL quarterback, and you can't compare what Tim Tebow was to Colin Kaepernick in terms of playing ability. I mean, that's where you lost me on that one. Lonnie from Michigan. Lonnie, does the NFL owe Colin Kaepernick an apology?
Hello, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Lonnie. How are you?
I'm great. I'd say yes and no. The reason why I say yes is because it's obvious he's owed one, because he was never wrong. But I say no because if I was him, I wouldn't want one. Because I feel like their opinions haven't changed at all about what they feel as far as him kneeling, is just that it's convenient to be on his side now, you know? I mean, let's be honest, you know, nothing has changed from 4 years ago to now, you know? He's been saying the same thing, the same things have been happening to black people as far as their interactions with police. But the only thing is now it's convenient because more people are on that side than the other side. So really the issue is that they really never cared about the issue in the first place. So if I was him, I'd be like, look, I really don't want to play for none of you guys, you know, and I don't want to hear your apology because it's fake and it's only convenient, you know.
Lonnie, we appreciate the phone call. It's the perspective of a lot of different people. Now, at some point, for me, if I'm Colin Kaepernick, an apology, I'm not going to say it's too late. But that's me, and I can't put myself in his shoes. We appreciate the call, Lonnie. Lloyd from North Carolina. Lloyd, how are you today?
Fine. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What are your thoughts?
Yes, they owe Colin Kaepernick an apology because it was never about the flag. It was about police brutality. So they owed him an apology 4 years ago.
That's fair, and I think and we appreciate the call, Lloyd. You know what? I think it's who's it coming from in the NFL? Is it just Roger Goodell? Do you just want Roger Goodell? The point that I've been making throughout is sure, that's one place to start. How about coaches? How about general manager? Pete Carroll was saying, well, you know, we wanted to sign Colin Kaepernick a few years ago, but we didn't want to disrespect him. I mean, are you kidding me? If Colin Kaepernick could have helped you win football games, get that guy on the team. You're dealing with a position that injury is as possible to happen as any position on the field. You're dealing with the most important position on the football field in sports. If that guy could have helped you, why didn't you sign him back then? Rick from Chicago joining us on the First Take Your Take hotline. Rick, how are you today?
Good. Yourself?
I'm doing well. How about you? What do you think? The NFL owe Colin Kaepernick an apology?
No, I don't believe they owe him an apology. I believe he was an ineffective communicator. He's got an antagonistic personality. With his socks, with his Castro jersey, he is not able to reach the people he wanted to reach, and that is on him. His message may have been good, but he did not communicate it effectively at all.
Boy, you know what, Rick? You make a good point in that Colin Kaepernick lost some steam when he wore the pig police officer socks. But to say that his message fell on deaf ears, to say that he was an ineffective communicator, I think that there are the majority of players in the NFL that would strongly disagree with you on that. I think that the majority of people in society would strongly disagree with you on that. I think most of what Colin Kaepernick was speaking out about has come to fruition. It's part of the national dialogue right now. Again, you can disagree with that, but to say that Colin Kaepernick was an ineffective communicator, maybe to people who didn't want to hear his message, but to people who wanted to hear his message, he's going to go down as one of the best communicators that sports has ever seen, in my opinion. A missing baseball? Tune in Sunday night for an MLB Classic. Game 7 of the 2003 ALCS between the Yankees and Red Sox. It's presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. More phone calls coming up after this. Does Colin Kaepernick deserve an apology from the NFL? Robust debate today on the phone lines, 888-SAY-ESPN. We're coming back after this. Where has the time gone today? First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. Kevin Connors in today for Jason Fitz. We've been taking your phone calls. And initially, the conversation was, how is Roger Goodell handling the NFL return? And we were also asking, does the NFL owe Colin Kaepernick an apology? And the Colin Kaepernick conversation has far dominated the phone lines more than is Roger Goodell handling the NFL return correctly. We go back to the phone lines right now at 888-SAY-ESPN. Chris from North Carolina. Chris, what are your thoughts?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. First of all, I'd like to preface this by saying I'm a 49er fan. So I know Colin Kaepernick from the draft that he entered the league with to what he did leading up to that Super Bowl run. And here's what I'll say. Does he deserve to have a job in the NFL in terms of either a starter or a backup? I believe yes. He's a very talented individual. Does he deserve an apology from the owners and from the NFL on what I'm assuming is the basis of quote-unquote being blackballed for a stance? My answer is going to be no, and here's why. We oftentimes like to take the positives that he brought to the table and dismiss the negatives, but basically an injury away from not even having that shot at the Super Bowl to begin with. And what I mean by that is Alex Smith was concussed. And at that time is when he sat in and started for the 49ers. And that's when the lights came on. And he really flashed and showed what he could do as an athlete and as a quarterback. And he did have talent. The issue was that we like to remember that he carried a 49ers team to the Super Bowl. And what we dismiss is that he replaced a very good quarterback, effective quarterback, who could have also done the same job. And two, that he was also on a team with a not good, not great, nearly historic defense with names like Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, Haldon Smith, Justin Smith, Dante Whitner, and a few others. So does he get an apology? No, because he opted out of his contract, and he shuffled around to a few job interviews and a few tryouts. And whether it was his lack of speaking up publicly or teams playing politics, what was aired was that he wanted starter money and he wanted a starting position, which sounded like, I don't want to work my way into another organization. I want to.
Yeah, Chris, listen, I mean, we've gone down a lot of different roads here. The fact of the matter is, number one, Alex Smith didn't lead them to the Super Bowl. Colin Kaepernick did. Number two, addressing does the NFL owe him an apology? Again, my stance on this, all there are a lot of people that owe Colin Kaepernick an apology beyond just Roger Goodell. By the way, the whole conversation has started from what LeBron James said on Bloomberg Business Week this week. He discussed whether or not the NFL should apologize to Colin Kaepernick.
As far as the NFL, I'm not in those locker rooms. I'm not with those guys, but I do understand that an apology, I have not heard a true official apology to Colin Kaepernick on what he was going through and what he was trying to tell the NFL and tell the world about why he was kneeling when he was doing that as a San Francisco 49er. So I just see that to still be wrong. And now they are listening some, but I still think we have not heard that official apology to a man who basically sacrificed everything for the better of this world.
My thoughts are this is very simple. Roger Goodell has already issued a statement saying the NFL was wrong for not listening to players earlier. He didn't mention Colin Kaepernick by name. Well, effectively, he was apologizing to Colin Kaepernick. Why not just go ahead and name him and say, my bad? Will Cain Show coming up next. I'm Kevin Connors. Thanks for listening.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.